This episode is part two of choosing the right video hosting provider for your business goals.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by WireBuzz.
In last week's episode, I spoke with Wistia's CEO, Chris Savage. Now, if you didn't hear it, Wistia is a video player. You're going to want to listen to that episode. And we talked about the benefits of third-party hosting providers compared to YouTube. And we also talked about some ways that you could use his platform, Wistia, to get better sales and marketing results for your business. Now, in this episode, I get to talk with Michael Litt, who's the CEO of Vidyard. I'm basically on the CEO circuit right now of third-party hosting providers. And we talk about and discuss insights into the capabilities of video hosting technology that you absolutely need to know about and how Vidyard fits into the video hosting ecosystem. In an earlier interview, I spoke with a video marketer about a study he conducted on the biggest video marketing trends the industry would be seeing in 2016. And if you heard that interview, you would have noticed that I was a bit shocked that video marketers weren't focusing on tools that boosted ROI and sales. You know, video is the most valuable tool for generating revenue, and by tracking individual viewer data with your marketing automation and your CRM tools, it's a game changer. And doing that for my business has changed the trajectory of our company, and it's provided significant impact on my clients' businesses. And that's why I wanted to take a few moments to talk with Michael Litt, the CEO and founder of Vidyard. Hey, Michael.
Hey. How's it going?
Doing great, man. Thanks for making this happen. And, you know, Michael, we're going to spend a few moments talking about using video to speed up the sales process and lead scoring video. So what are the biggest mistakes that you see marketers making when it comes to video?
Fantastic question to kick things off. It is a great question, and I think there's multiple ways of answering that. I think companies that have invested early in video marketing make mistakes that they can essentially track. Those who are new to it always take the assumption, and something that we call here of Super Bowl theory, which is they need to produce essentially a film-grade piece of content because they fall down the rabbit hole of working with an agency. They think they're Steven Spielberg to some capacity. They invest way too much in a video, which doesn't get the message across because there's too many hands in the honeypot trying to develop the script. And what they end up with is a piece of content that was really expensive, doesn't nail the message, and ultimately doesn't get views. And then at the end of the day, they can't actually track the impact of that asset on pipeline or close business. And so maybe they spent $10,000, $15,000, maybe $100,000 or more on that piece of content, and there's absolutely no attribution and no ROI. So I think that's one of the biggest mistakes. And I say that because that's essentially why we started Vidyard.
I'm so glad you brought that up. It pains me beyond belief because every week, you know, when you're a thought leader in the space and you get approached by people that need you to help resuscitate a project, and every week I get somebody that brings me a video that got created by, let's say, like a television production company that is a really expensive video, but it was beautifully designed because the guy who created it thought he was going to at some point in his life win an Academy Award. And the video doesn't convert. And to me, if it doesn't convert, if there's no ROI, if you're not moving people through your sales funnel, it's a worthless video for business. And so I'm sure you see that a lot. And I think it's frustrating that businesses start creating videos without conversion or ROI in mind.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, there's to even go simpler before we kind of get into the weeds on conversion or ROI, I think people don't necessarily buy what you do. Often they buy why you do it.
Yeah.
And video is the only medium that can actually capture the passion of what you're doing. So if you're a really small business, for instance, as Vidyard once was, we would get the people that were selling our product on the screen talking about the way our solution could essentially solve our customers' pains. And we would do it unscripted, and we would reveal that passion, and we would often shoot those videos on an iPhone. So that's the exact opposite of this Super Bowl theory.
Right.
It's just getting that passion on camera and doing it in quick hits so that you can actually see how those assets are converting. And that's when you start getting down the rabbit hole of understanding what works and what doesn't. But you can't even get there unless you can produce content on a pretty high frequency and a pretty high cadence.
You know, I told you on the phone the other day when we did a little pre-interview conversation that I've been kind of cyber stalking you over the years. And the first time your name came across my radar was an article that you wrote in 2013 about creating video marketing for your entire sales funnel. And as I read through it, I was like, damn, this guy knows what he's talking about. It was actually at that same time when I started pulling together video for a sales funnel or a buyer's journey. So how do you map video to the sales funnel and what types of videos work best at each stage of that funnel? Oh, by the way, it's a huge question. So I'm gonna
kind of unpack this one a little bit. I think there's a really easy way of answering this question, and then we can maybe dig into it. So the way I look at it, your funnel, obviously, for those of you listeners who haven't seen funnel, upside down triangle. Lots of leads come in the top, and then hopefully deals come out the bottom. At the very top, which is kind of the awareness aspect of your funnel, which is people that might be experiencing your brand for the very first time, what you need to do is essentially create a general message that is interesting enough to drive them to go a little bit further down your funnel, to get interested in maybe another aspect of your solution. And the challenge with that very top of funnel piece of content is that it has to be quick, has to be to the point. And a lot of organizations make the mistake of making their top of funnel, aka their homepage video, super, super long and super full of detail. My general rule of thumb is that video can't and should not be any longer than 30 seconds. There's a reason why Instagram has capped the video length to 15 seconds, and it isn't cost on infrastructure or the back end, because obviously Facebook does not limit those lengths of videos. It's because of the habits that are generated through scrolling, and those consumer habits are now leaking into the enterprise, the consumerization of the enterprise, the consumerization of essentially B2B. And we know humans have very short attention span. So super short piece of content. Now from there, and this is kind of where we can unpack it as we chat here, the further you get on the funnel, the longer that content can be. And the reason for that is because people are now investing into the journey.
That's right.
And they're going to need to learn more about what you do. So again, as you get closer to purchase, which is maybe as you get closer to a video that is essentially just a demonstration of how they would use your software or exactly what it will provide for them, the longer the asset can become. And then obviously the longer the attention span of the people that are viewing it, because they're more engaged, they're more likely to purchase. And if you can track the attention span of your audience as they get closer to the bottom of the funnel and it isn't increasing, then that's how you know that something is wrong with your content, because these are the people that are invested already and have been more likely to buy.
All right. I like how you explain that. You know, videos at the top of the sales funnel should be shorter than videos at the bottom of the sales funnel, because now as you're just piquing interest at the top, those interest videos are also, and Michael, this is how I often explain it. You let me know what you think about this. Videos at the top in the interest stage are also videos that work really well in search because they're awareness videos. Often when somebody is searching on Google, what they're doing is they're exercising demand for information, and you want to supply that information in order to be found in the interest stage. Cool?
Yep, you got it.
All right, man. Anything else you wanted to add on this before I jump into my next question?
Yeah, you know, the only thing I would say is the beautiful thing about video in the sales funnel is in every company sales funnel, at some point, salespeople take over. To some degree, you're going to have a human conversation potentially. And so as you get down that funnel, the important thing about video is that it can actually, to some degree, actually replace the need for a human in that process, because video is the next best thing to being there in person. And, you know, when we look at our own internal sales organization, a lot of the time spent on the phone doing a demonstration of the product.
Right.
And it's always the same demonstration. So if you can pre-record that and enable your sales teams essentially with that content, then they can ship out that asset at the right stage of the funnel when the buyer is ready for it, and essentially save that time and track when the audience member views that content, which again helps enable the sales process, gives your reps and your internal people more time, and can ultimately replace the human at that stage. And so it's really cool when you start really getting into the funnel to think about, you know, where you can intervene with human interaction in that purchasing process.
Yeah, I totally agree. To make sure that you get to see this article that Michael wrote back in 2013, I'll make sure it's on the notes page because it's still very relevant. It's a great high-level piece of information that you should be using when you're considering pulling together your own sales funnel and integrating video into it. And Michael also breaks down in this article the percentage of video in your arsenal that you should allocate for each stage of this funnel. It's really it's a very smart article. You know, a lot of these videos that you were just talking about, the salesperson ends up driving the sales process. And at some point they know that a prospect is in a different place of the funnel. And so they can kind of go off of autopilot and send a video that can knock down a common objection. And those videos are like three times more likely to be shared internally inside of an office. So they end up knocking down the pins that normally would have been in the way. You buy all that, Michael?
Oh, absolutely. And the cool thing about sharing that content internally is now it's an on-demand asset versus something that's live, right? It's like
right.
if you miss the game, maybe you recorded it, maybe it's on PVR, you can then watch it later. That's the beautiful thing about video in this use case. If people can't make the meeting when the demo happens,
right,
they're still going to get to see it because that video gets shared and they can look at it anytime they want. And then obviously your sales teams can know exactly when that happens. And so, you know, from a behavior analysis and predicting the buyer perspective, you can actually do a lot more with video than you can with a traditional demo. So yeah, you nailed it on the head.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's so cool. The first time I started using this for my business in our very first campaign, within the first 30 days, we generated $350,000 in new revenue. And it's because now we know who's going through our process and we're being triggered to do follow-ups on the right people. So how are sales teams using marketing automation and video for lead scoring and other sales insights?
Yeah. So as you know, and it depends on what CRM you ultimately use, but let's say it's, you know, tried and true, old faithful Salesforce.com. Inside of Salesforce, when your sales rep is looking at the account, they're going to find a lead record. Now, that lead record contains a whole bunch of information from the company address to revenue. It really depends on how your company has staffed that up. With the marketing automation integrations that exist, let's say it's Marketo or HubSpot or Pardot, if the two systems are communicating very clearly, your reps will be able to see on the contact record which content they've actually participated in, what articles they've read, what blog posts they've read, what white papers they downloaded, what emails they opened. And if your demand gen team is really great, you'll actually be able to see the lead score associated with that lead. And so even if you haven't talked to this person yet, you get an idea of how interested they are in potentially talking to you and or your products based on that scoring mechanism, which essentially comes from marketing, that marketing automation
yeah.
investment. Now, the challenge with, you know, a white paper download or an email open or a blog read is that you know that they clicked the link, but you have no idea if they actually read the content. And we did an analysis of this and looked at white paper downloads and tried to get a feel on how many people actually read the white papers they downloaded. And we're all a victim of this. We see the link, we think it's cool, we download it, it gets in our inbox or it goes onto our hard drive on our machine and it never gets read. However, some sales rep is sitting on the edge of their seat because you just downloaded that thing and they think they can call you and talk to you about it.
Right.
Now, the difference with video, and because you're tracking attention span of that individual second by second, is that you then know exactly what they saw because that video was something your company or you created that takes them on a journey, aka a story that you told. And so if they make it all the way through, then technically that's worth way more than if they just clicked it. And having that second by second attention span on the lead record is so, so valuable. And that's something that we've actually started referring to as digital body language.
Yeah.
Because you know how likely someone is to be interested in talking to you based on how much video they watch. And video is actually one of the most powerful mediums, again, because you get that second by second attention span.
It's so cool, man. Okay. All right. So, you know, I'm like a fanboy for using this type of technology. If there was a groupie, I would be it and I would follow it. And if I was starting a business, I would make sure it was integrated into everything that my team does because it makes you lean and mean and allows you to respond to people who are ready to convert. So
yep.
Let's talk about Vidyard for a moment. I think Vidyard would be a cool tool for people listening that are interested in video marketing and then boosting ROI in sales. How do you break Vidyard down to people?
Greatest question of all so far. So, you know, we've talked about a lot of the very intricate and complex aspects of a proper video marketing campaign and essentially how you use the software. But to start with, you know, the way to think about Vidyard is it's a place to host, manage, store your video content. It's a place to make sure that that video content can be viewed by all people. It's essentially a CMS. It's a distribution center. It's a way to make sure all your employees, all your teams can share those videos that your marketing team has created essentially for sales, closed business, but it's also the place where you can post your videos that eventually are going to get embedded across your websites, et cetera. So that's kind of the very beginning. Traditional video hosting technology, and I mean, in that regard, you could use something like YouTube, Vimeo. There's a million even free software platforms that will do that. Where things get interesting is when it comes down to interactivity, lead capture, lead gateways, sending essentially a video that has a query string attached in an email. And all that stuff essentially boils down to the one simple idea of identifying who your viewers are. And you don't know how interested someone is in buying the product that is being essentially talked about in that video unless you can identify them as an individual. So that means using these lead gates, using what we call pop-out call to action, using these query strings. So let's say using Constant Contact or MailChimp, adding our query string to the actual URL that links to the video means that when you email that person and they click that link to watch that video, we know who they are. We now know how much they're watching, and we actually uniquely cookie those individuals. And so that every time they watch a video from then on forth, we know that it's them because we can associate that cookie with that viewer. And the cool thing about this technology is if you're using Vidyard ultimately for all your videos, even if we don't know who someone is because we haven't been able to identify them with a lead form or the query string or one of our integrations with any of the marketing automation systems or CRM, as soon as we find out who they are, all of that historic viewing history gets associated with that individual. And we have so many case studies and stories where all of a sudden the lead came in hot to the sales team with a lead score that was far beyond anything they'd ever seen. And the reason being is they had been watching all this content and our system had finally identified who they are.
Yeah.
And once we get beyond that, I mean, there's many, many layers here. I talked about the integrations with marketing automation systems and CRM. Everything I talked about before, associating a contact record with a video view, identifying what we call that digital body language. That's some of the more complicated and down-level stuff we do. Back towards the top, we actually acquired a company in the fall that allows us to do personalized video content. And one of the ideas there is that when you send a video out to an individual in an email, the email is personalized. Mail merge and merge tags have been around for a very long time now. Why isn't that video personalized? Why doesn't the thumbnail include their name, maybe a picture, maybe a recent tweet, and actually bring them into the content? And our belief is that personalized video is essentially going to become table stakes. So you could think about video as a video marketing platform. There's a bunch more that I won't get into unless we kind of get into the details around hubs and live streaming, et cetera.
Sure.
But anything you could possibly want to do with video from a marketing and sales perspective, we got you covered.
All right. So just in quick summary, Vidyard's a place to host your videos. It's got a CMS, which is a content management system, marketing automation built in, lead gates with also query strings, and the ability to identify who your viewers are, and then also the ability to provide personalized video. It's a very cool tool. Now, if for people in my audience, we've talked at length about Wistia, and I've explained to my audience over the last several episodes about how you use it to trigger follow-ups and alerts. So how does Vidyard compare to other hosting platforms like Wistia?
Yeah, absolutely. So Wistia, first of all, I love what those guys are doing. They've done a lot of great stuff in the space. They've been at it for a long time. I think it's been since about 2006. And Wistia kind of is, if you think about the spectrum of what you can do with video marketing, you likely start with a YouTube or a Vimeo, and that is a free place to host your videos, post them online, and then get some view counts. Now, let's say you want to get a little more deeper into it.
Oh, so like YouTube and like Vimeo are like the starter drug. They're like the white Zinfandel for the person who matures into a big cab.
Yep, you got it. Yeah, you got it nailed on the head. And so Wistia is kind of that next step. And so let's say you're graduating to kind of a slightly different kind of drug. They're going to give you more information, more insights. There's interactivity built in. And they've even got some integrations with marketing automation systems. Now, the next step beyond that is what I would say is Vidyard. And so, you know, we've had companies that essentially graduate out of all those systems into our platform, because we've got the Salesforce CRM integrations. We've got the personalized video content capabilities. We do the cookieing of individual viewers. And so no matter where that video player goes, if it's shared on LinkedIn, Twitter, et cetera, we're capturing that individual viewer's information. Versus with some of those other platforms, ultimately, the people need to be viewing it on the page that the player is hosted on, because the integrations just aren't as in-depth. And so that's kind of the way you can think about the two platforms. One of the things we kind of provide, or a bunch of the functionalities we provide above and beyond, would be in a list order, the CRM functionality, the personalization of video hubs, which is essentially an essential resource where all your videos could be. So let's say you wanted to essentially create a TV channel on your website, in quotes, we can power that for you. We can customize that for you. We can essentially recommend content into that hub based on what other people have viewed or haven't. And we also have a live streaming technology. And the beautiful thing about our live streaming technology is that, let's say we were doing this on essentially a live stream, we'd be able to track who was viewing as we do with an on-demand video asset. And then once that live stream is done, that video becomes available on demand for viewers in perpetuity with all the tracking and stuff included. So we're a more robust, more mature platform in those regards. But by all means, you know, my interest is making sure everybody understands how to use video. And I think any platform is a great platform to get started on.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you guys are positioned very well for the the coming video storm. You and I have been in this business for a long time, and you know, video is just the beginning. I mean, we're just right now at the beginning of the big storm that's coming, where every business is converting to better ways to optimize and engage their prospects, to move them faster through the funnel and closer to conversions, and identifying who those people are. And so the big picture for me is, how do we use tools like Vidyard to better educate our prospects and to make sure that our prospects understand, they have greater interest, they learn, evaluate, so we can justify and bring them down into the purchase. And Michael, while we're together, any big trends that you're seeing in video marketing that, you know, besides personalized video and besides sales and ROI, that we should talk about during this conversation?
Yeah, that's a great one. I mean, there's a lot of interesting stuff going on in video right now. I think one of the, you know, more niche but still really cool aspects of video is what's happening with 360-degree video, which is obviously being driven by VR.
Right.
So for those of you who aren't familiar, 360-degree video is video that's essentially been shot and recorded on, let's say, an array of GoPros that capture a full 360-degree field of view. And so when you watch this content, you can move your phone around, per se, and based on your phone's coordinate, which is based on the gyroscope accelerometer, you can see a different aspect of the video. Those are really involving. Those are really cool. A lot of neat stuff happening there in B2C. I think more tactically, though, one of the biggest changes in the video marketing world that's happened over the past 6 months is Facebook's huge, huge, huge emphasis on video. We've seen Mark Zuckerberg on stage talk about how Facebook is betting the farm on video. I mean, it's hard to go to your Facebook feed without seeing videos on autoplay as you scroll through. And the cool thing about Facebook's platform is the demographic targeting and all the interesting things you can do with that platform specifically. So I think as you're thinking about your video marketing go-to-market, you cannot forget the other platforms. And, you know, one of the things we at Vidyard believe is, again, a video marketing strategy includes all the distribution centers. So we integrate with Facebook and YouTube so that you can operate those channels. Because, in the end of the day, Facebook is a great search engine where content can be just targeted directly at your buyer. Mm-hmm. YouTube is a great search engine where content can be targeted directly at your buyer based on what they're searching. And so you got to think about those social channels. And as the consumerization of the enterprise goes, your buyers are likely currently millennials, and they will be, if they're not your purchasers today, they'll be your purchasers tomorrow. And these are people that grew up on TV, and these are people that use YouTube and Facebook on a regular basis. I am one of these people. And so if you aren't thinking about your video in that way, and you're not existing on those platforms, you could be missing the beat. And that's something that I really am starting to emphasize as I talk to companies about their holistic video marketing strategy.
Yeah, it's a really good point. Michael, last week I was speaking at a large destination travel marketing association conference. And the questions that I was getting hit with were, and I was surprised that people were this early or this interested, 360 VR, live stream, and YouTube TrueView were all big topics that people wanted to know about. And I really like watching this as this industry starting to mature and grow their tools like Vidyard that can help you convert people quicker. And that's why I wanted to spend time with Michael Litt. He's the CEO and founder of Vidyard. And for more information, you can go to vidyard.com. Michael, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, he's Michael Litt. He's the CEO of Vidyard. Vidyard, as you now know, is a video hosting provider. They got great marketing automation built in. And this is a two-part series. If you go back, definitely go back and listen to part one where I talk with Chris Savage, who's the CEO of Wistia. When you listen to these two talk about their product and the benefits, it's pretty easy to see when to use Wistia, when to use Vidyard, and when to use YouTube. And I really encourage you, because once you start using the right video player for the right circumstances is when you get to see really significant lift for your business in ROI. For more information on this episode, check out the show notes at wirebuzz.com/18. An easy way to remember this episode is, you know, your whole life being a kid, you want to turn 18 so you can be an adult and you can walk out of your parents' house with the blaze of glory. But as soon as you turn 18, you realize you really need to fake ID so you can be old enough to drink. Wirebuzz.com/18 is where these show notes live. As you know, we've been talking about creating videos for different parts of your sales funnel. And if you're not sure where to start or which videos to focus on first, be sure to get your hands on our free video topic selection worksheet at wirebuzz.com/topics. And that's wirebuzz.com/topics. Topics, of course, is plural with an S hanging on the end. And in that guide, we're going to walk you through the questions that you need to ask yourself to decide which videos are going to move the needle the most for your business, which videos are going to get you ROI quicker. And again, you can get access to that at wirebuzz.com/topics, and it's free to the listeners of this podcast. If you like this podcast, make sure you subscribe and don't miss an upcoming episode. Like, for example, I just finished recording the next episode, which I'll tee up right here. It is the Down and Dirty Secrets About Viral Videos that you absolutely need to know. So please be sure to go to iTunes and subscribe, and I'll send you the latest episodes. And make sure while you're on iTunes that you give us a really honest rating and review. I read every one of them, and it helps me bring better information that meets your needs so you can go on into your office and say it with me, be a video marketing master.